Hello, I'm Alan Davis. You're listening to the Tuesday Club. This is the Arsenal podcast, and I've got Damien Harris with me this afternoon. How are you, D?
Hey, hallelujah. Surprisingly chipper.
I thought you'd gone a bit to Spirit of Christmas there.
You want me to play Kumbaya on the guitar, don't you?
Okay.
No, you don't. I'm prepared to later on. Maybe we can have a sing song later on. But yes,
Keith
I'm good.
Dover is here. How are you, Keith?
Joy to the world. We've won a game. Yes, Master Alan and Master Damien, how jolly it is to see you, sir, on this fine Christmas holiday.
It's a Christmas miracle.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Hallelujah.
We bring you this podcast, listener. We're recording at 4:45 on the Sunday afternoon, the day after Arsenal have thrashed Chelsea.
I think you're allowed to say that.
Championship-chasing Chelsea have been dismantled at the Emirates in front of 60,000. Or at least that's the official.
Always the official.
And an electrifying display of progressive attacking football from a wonderful, lively team who's showing so much potential for the future. I kept stabbing myself in the leg with bits of holly to check I wasn't dreaming about what I was seeing, because frankly, it was unexpected.
It was, wasn't it?
Well, you know, I sent a message out saying, don't tell me the score because I'm going to watch it on Match of the Day. Well, I cracked, so I kept looking. But it was like, oh, it's 3-1. I'm looking at the watch and looking at the clock. The game must be over by now. And then it says, oh, Chelsea have missed a penalty. And, oh, that's it. Throw it away. And I'm just thinking, has time stopped still? Why is time not moving? Blow the whistle.
That's the problem with CFAX. It does take a bit of time to load.
CFAX? I use this code, sir. Right.
Did you look out for a beacon over Walthamstow Hill?
Yes.
Yeah, light a fire.
Yeah, on top of Crouch End.
I'll go up onto Kite Hill and light a fire. Yeah. Spread it right across London.
It's all right, Keith. We won. Tell Mr. Dover.
Yeah. Well, I think we might have found a secret of retiring certain Brazilians to their home.
Now what happened there? So David Luiz and Willian cried off sick. Perhaps they'd overdone it in their Mayfair restaurant. Perhaps Kia Chirabjian had kept them back for afters.
Yeah.
On Christmas Eve, and they hadn't recovered in time. And they were not missed.
Oh, no.
At all. Gabriel had been in contact with someone who had COVID or something like that. Is he isolating?
Anyway, we had to
bring in all these other players, and all of whom play very, very well. It's completely baffling. I was really just relying on hope. You know, really, my engine was running on the fumes of hope before that game, because I could see nothing in the previous performances. Chelsea had lost a couple of away games, but suddenly they were all running about. I mean, really running about, chasing people, two or three red shirts going after a blue one, Hector Bellerin bombing up and down, doing a Kieran Tierney impression, big centre-halves, one right-footed, one left-footed, look like they're in tandem, working together like they knew how to play centre-half. The goalkeeper looks all right.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe my eyes. And then these forwards that we've been crying out for, desperately waiting for the day where we could field Saka and Martinelli together. It's not overstating it to say these are two of the best young prospects in European football. Absolutely outstanding. If they're this good now, and then Emile Defoe at number 10.
Yeah.
Who's been last played there a year ago under Freddie Ljungberg, brought back in. So if Lacazette receives the ball and he kept showing for it and battling away and running, wanting the ball, then he's got these fantastic young players to give it to, and they're setting about the game like it means something to them. Where's this team been?
I know. It's fascinating that two of the players who were on my out list suddenly rose to the occasion as well. Granit Xhaka
is on everyone's out list.
But he was superb. I thought he was really good.
Well, he was really well. Did one of his good games. Yeah, where do they come from? Why does he suddenly have a good game?
Yeah. Well,
is it who's round him? I don't know, but it was, you know, he was calm. He was almost like captain-like. I mean, there was that little chest back at the end, near the end, when we were sort of defending. I thought he was great.
And he scored a goal, which means he's now shagged out for the rest of the season. That's his goal tally, you know. We may squeeze one more out of him, but...
He thumped that free kick in, didn't he? I mean, absolutely lamped it in the top corner.
Did you notice that Martin Tyler, just before the free kick was taken, he said, "Granit Xhaka, an occasional weapon."
Yeah.
Which occasional
not
weapon.
Not mass destruction.
No. He can be an absolute weapon sometimes, Martin. But this time I thought,
Gary Neville said, and I wrote this down, there's so much to like about this team. The balance, they've got some experience through the spine. But these young players, they're running, making Chelsea look like old men. Where's this team been? I just can't understand it. I mean, I'm all for it. And this is exactly what, that's how you play. That's all we wanted you to do is try, run about, try for the Arsenal. And Martinelli can't do anything but try, can he? Mm. I mean, I thought he'd broken his leg when he went in in the game in the week against Man City when we were just shit again. I actually felt really upset about it again, the Man City game. Like, I felt a little bit almost tearful. I thought, what is happening to this lot now? I'm tuning in with the best will in the world, and they are a shambles yet again. Just a shambolic outfit, all disconnected and fearful. And even when we did get an equaliser, which was a brilliant bit of play by Martinelli, fired in a right-footed cross that was cleared, got the ball again, fired in a left-footed cross that Lacazette could hardly miss. It was right on his forehead. And then I thought, Lacazette, he's scored. Martinelli, he's brilliant. Maybe. And then just garbage goalkeeping. What on earth is...
Yeah.
Is that the worst goalkeeper? We've seen some crap in between the sticks for Arsenal down the years. But really, Ollie texted me and said, "This he makes Almunia look like Dino Zoff."
Yeah. I mean, no, it's tough on the lad. And why did we not have Macy in goal? I mean, he's been at the club a few years. Is this going to be another Martinez? You know,
it's an absolute mystery. It caused me to look up Matt Macy on this Wikipedia page, which shows that he's been at Arsenal. He's 26. He's been at Arsenal since he came from Bristol Rovers as a 19-year-old. He came to Arsenal. He played a couple of games in the 2017-18 season, one against Red Star Belgrade, one against Norwich in the League Cup when Eddie Nketiah scored twice. He went on loan to Luton Town. He went on loan for the 2018-19 season, played 38 games for Plymouth in League One. They brought him back. He got a new contract in 2018. He felt like they rate him. In fact, he came back from one of his loans because Cech and Ospina had injury problems and they might have gone to him, you know.
Yeah.
But I can't agree more. Keith, why is he still at the club, age 26? He also had a little short loan spell when he was 20 years old with Accrington Stanley. So he's had three loans, including a full season at Plymouth. If you can't field him, you bring in this guy from the French League, this Icelandic kid who looks like he's crapping himself. It's a selection that left me absolutely baffled.
Well, what is amazing is why didn't we keep Martinez, sell Macy to Aston Villa, and you make Leno fight for his place back? That's what a lot of clubs do who are in the top half of the table. They have two good goalkeepers and have got to battle it out. What has been the problem? Is it a case of really we needed 20 million?
Well, the flaw in that plan is that Aston Villa didn't want Macy, so that.
All right, Bab, can we have that goalkeeper of yours? And then he would go, this one.
But, you know, I mean, we've moaned a bit about this during the season, but, you know, that horse has bolted, didn't it? Yeah. Martinez is playing very, very well for Aston Villa. But Leno's penalty save against Jorginho was a fantastic save, stayed on his line, got down with a very strong hand. Jorginho didn't quite do the full skip before it, did he? So he didn't buy it. He thought he knew where he was going to put it. He went that way, and that's exactly where he put it. And that was a big save, actually, because it could have been a hairy stoppage. 3-2 would have made it a bit hairy the last 5 minutes.
Oh, God, really very hairy. Yeah, very hairy. Yeah. Big hairy.
Very
thing.
Hairy.
Yeah, like
big hairy. Big hairy.
Yeah, there's something needs to be trimmed, thankfully. But
a full wax, yeah. Really, it would have been.
It was that hairy.
Yeah, sort of Wookiee-esque final 5 minutes.
Do you think, like, Stan Kroenke might have had a Scrooge moment and he's leaned out of a window and seen a small child and gone, is that creative centre midfielder still in the shop window? Yes, sir. Well, here's 60 million. No, make it 100 million. Go and buy him. And get in some centre-halves as well, you know. Do you think that might happen? Or...
Definitely.
Yeah, sure. But I mean, we put out a decent side.
Very good
Man
side.
City, right? And we put out, this was a side, Mustafi, Gabriel and Kolasinac is a back three. Well, there's a bit, could be leaky. But then Cedric and Maitland-Niles as wing-backs, Elneny and Ceballos, Joe Willock played with Martinelli and Lacazette. We were 1-1. If we'd had Leno in goal, he'd have saved that free kick from Mahrez. And we might have gone into the second half, deeper into the second half at 1-1. But as soon as it went 2-1, we were in trouble.
I thought there were... I mean, the first 20 minutes, it didn't look like they'd even met. We were shocking and very lucky only to be 1-0 down. And then we sort of came back into it. There were little signs.
Yeah, and then we got the
there
goal.
There were little signs. If there'd been VAR, because Fernandinho would have been sent off, it could have been a very... different game. And it just, you know, I mentioned luck the last time, and it felt like we needed some, like, just a bit of a spotty winner against someone to do that, and then maybe we could sort of turn
Arteta's been bemoaning bad luck too, hasn't he? I mean, we got spanked that night anyway. He brought on Balogun, who looked very, very good again. Smith Rowe came on, who I just really like him. He so reminds me in lots of what he does.
Pepe was a no-show, though.
Paul Merson.
I mean,
Pepe didn't turn up again. But noticeably, in yesterday's match against Chelsea, Smith Rowe and Martinelli went as long as they could, about 60, 70 minutes each. When Pepe came on as a replacement, I think he came on for Martinelli, didn't he? He started running about as well. It's contagious, trying. It feels like... a contagion in the team. Laziness, idleness, giving up feels like a contagion. Trying hard feels like a contagion. There's a few joiner-inners around the place.
Yeah.
And if things start going their way, so like Arsene Wenger said in the interview with him, everyone wants the ball when you're 2-0 up. We started all right. Tierney won us a penalty. Lacazette stuck it away. We're a goal up. Chelsea not really... they've got a couple of players who don't convince me. I don't know about you. I don't quite know what Mason Mount is or Kovacic. You know? And if they're not quite clicking, if Pulisic isn't getting in the box, but the Arsenal players thought we can have these. We only beat them in a final a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And the confidence goes through the team, doesn't it?
Yeah, I was reading a thing about our third goal and how easy it was and how Chelsea almost gave us, you know, the lethargy through Chelsea was quite interesting because Holding had the ball. He had two passes open to him. One was to Xhaka, one was to Saka, you know, and it was just suddenly there was all this space and our game thrived in that.
But what happened for that goal was a really nice bit of interplay around halfway with... between Lacazette and Xhaka and two or three little quick short passes at pace through the midfield that we just have not seen.
I know.
We have not been able to execute that sort of stuff. I'm totally prepared to believe Bukayo Saka when he says he meant that finish.
Of course he did.
I do.
I'm
and
totally
what a,
prepared to believe it.
And what he a looked... smile. Has that guy got the most winning smile? When he's just like, oh... oh, he was so good.
They showed a little moment on the TV where Jeff Shreves, as Saka's walking past to be interviewed somewhere else further down the touchline, he says, did you mean it?
Yeah.
And he goes, of course, man. It's really made me laugh. But I could totally believe he would go for that. It's Rob Green was adamant on the TV that he'd shanked it and it was a fluke off the far post. But I wouldn't be at all surprised if he
was looking... in that corner.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those, it's almost like a percentage ball because it's going to cause trouble if it just lands in the area. But there's always that thing of like this this might sneak in, or this might bounce off the post for Martinelli. So I'm very more than happy
Totally agree. I think he went for it. And it was one of those things, if this works, it's going to look great. And if it doesn't, well, you know, it doesn't matter. And it worked for him. And I think he meant it. It wasn't a cross or anything like that.
If Theo had done it, would you have thought he'd meant it?
Well, unlucky, lucky Theo.
It was his right foot, yeah. You know. I mean, he got under it anyway. It was a big goal for us because it gave us a, we did let one in later on. Willock, who ran hard to go with Hudson-Odoi down the right, bought a dummy that he sold him, didn't he? And he got in and it went in off Abraham. But the penalty save was a big moment. It was fantastic to see Lampard looking so
hungry.
Really starving hungry, wasn't he, the second half?
He had some mince pies. Really Jody Morris had some silver foil with a few pigs in blankets in, I think. just some stuff left
some
over.
Just some stuffing. I've got a bit of stuffing. She wants from yesterday. She wants some stuffing, Frank.
I do. one of the best things I saw on Twitter, yeah, was Frank incensed, which was I believe Hayley Wright said Frank incensed, which is great.
Lampard said, "I take responsibility on the outside, yes," and then basically coated his entire team. But the players have to take responsibility. So you're not taking the responsibility on the outside. Yeah. Then this is the outside, Fat Frank, and you have coated them all off. He was furious, absolutely furious. Yeah. They're losing games. They thought they were going to win the league in October, but it doesn't look that way at the moment. And that was it doesn't also now look like we're going to get relegated, although we are back in the bottom six. Leeds have won.
Well, we've turned a big corner. Let's get Brighton and West Brom out of the way, and that may be an indicator.
Well, that's the thing, is it? It's bought us one game.
Yeah, but it's a big game to win. So their confidence must be good going into the next. If we'd have lost against Chelsea, would we have won against Brighton and West Brom?
Arteta's head was on the block. No one wants him to fail. I looked at that game and I thought, well, this is a decent 11, right? Mare, I'm not 100% convinced, but he had a solid game. But if you then add into that, the other players who didn't play, Gabriel, Partey, Aubameyang, Maitland-Niles, Callum Chambers, Nelson, Nketiah, Balogun, Willock, you feel like these are good. There's something here. It's obviously this other list, which has got Louise and Willian and Kolasinac and Socrates and Ozil and Mustafi and Pepe with a big question mark and Guendouzi with a question mark.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There seems like half a dozen players. You think, oh, do we want to pick them again? Get out the road, you know?
Yeah.
Mm.
I would be more than happy to.
Yeah, there's a lot of dead wood there. I never felt it was so much about the manager. I thought there was definitely a lot of players who are not showing up and maybe a bad attitude problem. But what I was fearful on saying is if the worst-case scenario we had got relegated, you know, you'd just have to sit down and say to Stan, you do realise you're not going to get 60,000 here for a Preston North End on a Wednesday night. No one's going to sponsor you anymore. Your corporate boxes are going to be empty. So there's got to be a reality check on what's going to happen with this football club. You know, but
well, it still has to be that, doesn't it?
He's got to dip in. But has he got the money? That's the big question. Because most of his models of running clubs is on fans coming through the gates. And in America, they're not going, as far as I know, they're not attending matches, baseball, basketball, etc.
No, no.
He spent $12 billion on a new stadium. So has he got them any money to throw our way? I'd say doubtful.
Is he bothered? Is Josh Kroenke bothered or qualified?
Yeah.
It's a far cry from the old board of David Dean and everybody, people who really wanted Arsenal to win. And the ownership is a concern, isn't it?
It's a big concern. Yeah. I mean, I'd like to think maybe we could get one more player. But I think, as you said, Alan, the players we've got, that's enough to get us out of this shit.
I will maintain that. I think that was a... where we are is a blip, I would like to think. And I was preparing a very passionate defence of Mikel Arteta before yesterday's game and why we should sort of stick with him, you know, even if we were to lose. I don't think we're in danger of being relegated.
This is a massive week, right? Chelsea is a good win, but Keith's absolutely right. Brighton and West Brom away. They have to be at that level. They have to be at that level of just effort and energy. And some of them, you know they will be. You know Kieran Tierney will be. You know Martinelli will be. You know that Holding will be intense about it. You know that Saka will deliver. And now I'm starting to run out of names.
Mm. Yes.
I'm not 100% sure what Xhaka's going to do, or Lacazette, or Bellerin. I'm not really sure if Elneny's going to be okay, or will he get outplayed by Brighton's midfielders, who are very, very good.
Mm. Very good.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if Pepe, if he comes off the bench, is going to look like we've just found him in the park and he's put a kit on and actually we signed the wrong one. I only trust about four of them. Mm. I looked at the squad. I went on the Premier League website. I looked at the Arsenal squad. This, you know, because Mesut Ozil's, and I'm not saying we should recall Mesut Ozil and get back into that conversation, but the mysterious thing about it is that he's not included in the 25-man Premier League squad, as has been widely reported, and neither is Sokratis. But our squad on the Premier League website only has 22 players in it. And I don't really understand how it works. It's got... The 22 listener are Cedric, Aubameyang, Bellerin, Willian, Ceballos, Chambers, Gabriel, Elneny, Holding, Kolasinac, Lacazette, Leno, Matt Macey, the mysterious and missing Matt Macey. It sounds like an Agatha Christie character. Maybe he doesn't exist. We just don't know. Ainsley, Maitland-Niles, Pablo Mari, Luis, Mustafa, Partey, Pepe, Runarsson. Kieran Tierney, he came down from Scotland to be number three. He's better than Ashley. Oh, Kieran Tierney. And then Granit Xhaka. And that's the 20. And that's the 22, right? And I thought, what? The rest of them are all young enough to qualify as under 21 players. So that list includes, well, all the these wonderful talented boys we've got, Nelson and Ketia, Saka, Smith Rowe. It's got Zach Medley there as well, and Guendouzi is away on loan. Torres, John Jules, Balogun, Aziz, Ben Cottrell. It's got all these people on it, as well as stacks of other scholars, and Willock and Martinelli. So why aren't Sokratis? And I presume they're keeping three spaces clear because they're hoping to add players in January, but then you can shuffle your pack in January anyway. Yeah. So if you did sign three or four, I remember in 2006 we had a big window. Do you remember when we brought in, was it Diaby we brought in, and Walcott and Adebayor, really good players, and we brought them all in January in 2006. If you've got some window plan like that, you could still have included Ozil and Sokratis in your 25 squad, but I don't understand the rules. We haven't got a 25-man Premier League squad, not according to the Premier League website. Mm. And I was looking at it thinking, I can't think of anyone else. Is there anyone else? I mean, what? It's an absolute mystery, and there's still a sort of stink around the club, isn't there, of players who haven't been doing it, we need to shift out. And that's another reason, Damien, well, I agree with you, why you guys really desperately want to stick with this manager, to give him a proper crack of the whip once he can clear out Deadwood, get shot. You know, there was a rumour that Ozil might go to Fenerbahce again. Now, we were saying before, oh, it's stupid. If they're only going to pay him 50 grand a week, we're going to pay him 300 grand a week to play for Fenerbahce. Well, at the moment, we're paying 350 grand a week to play for no one. Mm. And he's down at London Colney all day long. Get people out the door. Loan people out. Get them out the door so that the training is intense amongst the players who are actually going to be competing at the weekend. It must make a difference over there.
Oh, I totally agree with you. As long as Arteta doesn't tinker with the team for the coming up games. You know, if he does, as you say, keep this squad of players. So the team that played against Chelsea, they play against Brighton and they play against West Brom, provided no one gets hurt or suspended or anything. But that's what you've got to do. Keep the same squad together, more or less, you know. But don't
change if you
it.
Can't do that, who can you trust? Because I could trust, if you said to me, oh, he's bringing in Maitland-Niles. You know, if you're thinking, oh, I'll change a couple of players, because it is three games in a week and, you know, you do need to give people a chance. Use your subs sensibly like you did yesterday. I would trust Reece Nelson. I would trust Maitland Niles. Yeah. I'm looking around. I'm looking at it. I'm thinking, I trust Callum Chambers. I saw Ceballos and Aubameyang yesterday. I looked at them yesterday on the touchline, sort of sheepishly grinning at what was unfolding in front of them. They have been given a lot of chances, those two players, this season. Barely a goal or an assist between them. Aubameyang in particular, looking like someone shot his dog. And really, you're the leader and you failed us, really failed us, let us down badly. You were the absolute hero of the cup run and have been our top scorer 3 years running. We paid you a massive contract and you've gone AWOL. You're on the... So they should both be on the touchline thinking, oh, my God, look at these lads charging about, really busting a gut for the Arsenal, chasing Chelsea players down, really top Chelsea players who cost a fortune in the transfer market. How much was Jorginho, for God's sake?
Yeah.
And how much did they play for Conte and Pulisic? And all these players like Timo Werner, and I mean, fortunes they paid for these guys. And they were just chasing them around the Emirates, making them wish they hadn't come. I feel like we're a little bit light on people, but he really has to look around and think, who do I actually trust?
Well, on the radio, they said Aubameyang's body language was not looking good yesterday. And they said that in the tunnel, he looked like as you said, someone shot his dog. But this is, some of these big players need a kick up the arse. They need a shake up. And yeah, you've said it for a long time, bring the youngsters in. And they've shown that they can prove it, you know.
Partey is the one you'd like.
Oh, you'd have him back.
If he's fully 100% fit and ready to start, maybe against West Brom, I would play that guy. He's fantastic. And we'll see. We'll find out, won't we, if he's up for it every Saturday or if he's like Granit Xhaka, he's up for it once a month.
Mm. Well, Granit's always got a red card or a penalty in him, though. That's the trouble. I mean, could we just put a concrete weight on one of his legs and say, listen, just stay in the middle of the park so you don't move about too much.
But you know, for the penalty, when Kieran Tierney took on, was it Reece James, is it?
Yeah.
Anyway, he received the ball in the final third, wide on the left, from a pass from Xhaka.
Brilliant pass.
Accurate, drilled it to him, a forward pass into the final third. I said, why don't you do this more often?
Yeah.
Why was there such urgency? Is it just that they're up for the Chelsea game? Is it just because it's a big game against the top side? To be like that every week.
There was a couple of passes that he took that were... He went for the braver option rather than the safe pass back, get it under my left foot shovel, and pass it back to one of the centre backs. He actually did a little sneak inside with his right foot, I think. It was a completely different performance. And you're trying to explain it. And is it like Martinelli just running around, bombing, chasing down their goalkeeper, chasing down their centre backs? Is that what inspires them, that makes you go, oh, okay, you know?
Maybe. But, Nketiah's been doing that all season, hasn't he? He's a guy who runs the keeper down and busts a gut.
I don't think... Eddie slightly frustrates me sometimes because I don't think he goes the whole way. Martinelli sprints and looks like, if I don't get rid of this ball, he's going to clatter me. Eddie always backs off just at the right. And that's one of my very few criticisms of Eddie, I think.
Well, it's a mystery. Martinelli is sensational. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. I wish he wouldn't go in for crazy 50-50s like he did with the Man City goalkeeper the other night. Don't get yourself injured like Jack Wilshere. But when he came off, as we substituted yesterday against Chelsea, and he went over to Arteta and they shook hands, and Martinelli winked at him. But this is a guy. This is a confident man. Yeah. This guy. I mean, and we often say this, Keith, don't we? How long can we keep a kid like that? This guy's got Champions League written all over him. There's no doubt that he could play alongside Kylian Mbappe or anybody, you know, and play with anybody at any level. When you see players come through, we've seen a lot of players down the years, and this bunch coming through, it does remind me a little bit of the days when it was Rocastle, Merson coming through and Michael Thomas coming, you know, you thought this lot could be something. If you give them a chance, give them a solid base to go from, this lot are going to tear up the league. Yeah. You know, Merson, right from the get-go, always wanted the ball, always ran, always caused trouble for defences. His finishing was always good, and then he dropped a little bit deeper, didn't he? He wasn't obviously going to be an out-and-out striker. Kevin Campbell came in. Then we brought Ian Wright, and Merson played more sort of midfield. You can. We know, we've seen a lot of players. This is some special talent at the club. And it's a case of clearing people out of the way.
Yeah.
Well, you know, because letting them go for it.
Because the circumstance, I think, you know, we've always been, because he, rather than try, I know he, Arsene always used to say, oh, I didn't want to kill so-and-so or this player or that player as an excuse for not getting people. But we've been in that position where we've had to go, we've had to get big names in rather than trust this lot. And I think that the situation, how low things have gone for us, it points towards the stars aligning and going now, right, okay. I think as a fan base, we'd all be quite happy if he said, look, this season might be a write-off. If we get mid-table mediocrity, but we have blooded all of our kids, I think we'd all take that.
I'd agree with you there, as long as we don't flirt with relegation any longer. I mean, I heard a rumour Barcelona want Mustafi. Well, I'll personally drive him there in my van. You know, to the airport.
In the van.
Well, yeah. You know, at least we could keep him chained up so he don't try and get out the van.
But his contract's up, right, Mustafi, yeah. Is that right? I don't actually know the situation with a lot of the contracts. Ceballos is on loan, yeah. So there's a decision on him next summer. Ozil's gone next summer, if not before. Mustafi, I think, is gone. Socrates surely will go, yeah. Maybe even this window. I mean, surely with all his experience, there's somebody in Europe who wants an experienced international centre-back,
yeah.
even if Arteta doesn't rate him. So there's a few people going out the exit door. There's one or two. Willian, as you'd hope, was going to hit the ground running and create lots of chances and get shots off and try and get in the box to score goals and be an all-action, creative, attacking player to inspire the kids. And actually, he wanders around like an Uber driver in an Arsenal kit who's actually looking for his fare. I mean, it just doesn't look like a footballer. Like, what is this? Where's the motivation?
Yeah.
It's such a disappointment. And the whole malaise around the team over the last few weeks seems to be summed up by that one player who we know is a terrific talent, just hasn't done it.
Yeah.
So someone made an offer for him. I think Luiz is out of contract, isn't he, in the summer? Aubameyang's there for 3 years. He needs to pull his finger out.
But I would like to hope that, you know, the other way round, rather than Willian inspiring the kids inspire him, and he makes him go, Jesus, I better pull my finger out. And, you know.
Yes, that is what you hope. And Arteta seems to be clear in his mind, him and Edu, I don't know what conversations they're having. They've got a couple of things in mind in the forthcoming window. I mean, it opens in a few days, doesn't it? So,
well, let's hope it's not another elderly Brazilian, because we've got a Brazilian retirement home down there, so we don't need any more of them. And maybe, yeah, it was the inspiration. There was a rumour that there'd be a 25% pay cut if we got relegated. I mean, that focuses the mind somewhat, doesn't it? You know, that could have... I'm not saying.
Yeah, well, I mean, it really does. You know, we as... Yeah, the Tuesday night game, well, Tuesday night, the 6 o'clock game at Brighton.
That's a big
this, one. We are really going to see now.
Yeah.
Really. If you've got to be up for it to that extent, down there where we lost a few months ago, we have not had good results against that side, and we ought to be putting them to bed. We ought to go down. They ought to be worried about Arsenal turning up. And we have to go down there and get 3 points.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, it's... Arteta's not out of the woods by a long way.
I think if he plays the team that played against Chelsea and go, right, listen, we've turned a corner, but you've got to be 100% focused on this, give 100% again, and we may get something out of it. Even if it's a draw, I'll take a draw.
It'd be nice to see Partey on the bench, wouldn't it? Yeah. Because I think him running up and down the touchline, limbering up, would certainly give Granit Xhaka food for thought if he'd reverted back to where he was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, getting back to the transfer thing, I mean, are clubs going to come in for certain players, though? I mean, you look at our Deadwood. Would you want them at your club? I mean, oh, it's a tough call on some of them. I mean, have they got the money either? I mean, that's it. You know, there's only big clubs like Barcelona or Madrid seem to be splashing. Even they've taken the purse strings.
There's money. There is money around. It's amazing where they find it. And, you know, and TV money's still big as well.
Well, we shall see. So, you know.
Speaking of TV, I discovered this new programme last night.
Yes.
Amazing, right? That Gary Lineker hosts it. And basically they show all the games, yes, football games from the day. And it's called Match of the Day. And it's a brilliant idea. I hadn't watched it for bloody months. And it's just like, what a great idea this is. And then they say nice things about our football club.
I found a similar programme myself. I watched the first game, didn't bother to watch the others.
I have not watched Match. It's been the longest time I've not watched Match of the Day. So nice to have that back.
It was a nice watch, wasn't it? And we can set aside our David Moyes game shortlists for a few more days.
For a little bit longer, yeah.
Hey, so Pochettino gone to PSG? Has that happened? Is he?
That's a very strong rumour. They've fired Tuchel, haven't they? Yeah. I don't know. He used to play for PSG, Pochettino, so he's got a connection. Yeah.
But also the other thing is, doesn't he want to get Messi? They want to lure Messi.
Well, I mean, can you imagine what's the attraction of Paris Saint-Germain? Maurizio. I don't know, Neymar plays for him, didn't he? And they were going to sign Messi. I thought,
yeah,
go on then.
Or,
how long? 2 years. All right.
Yeah. Or you got Willian, Granit Xhaka, and Socrates. Yeah.
No, we've got to get better at selling things. I mean, maybe it's just a trestle table out the back. and a couple of kids. We've got lemonade and lazy footballers.
Well, I like the look of the
it's
lemonade.
It's all for comic relief.
The lemonade is looking good. The football.
Now, I had a tweet from at Roger McNess to our Twitter feed. The Chiefs Club Twitter feed is at Not You Bentley. We're heading towards 10,000 followers. Maybe I should tweet more often. Anyway, Roger says, Merry Christmas from the freeloading scum. I met Teddy Sheringham in a restaurant in Villamora a few years ago. I can confirm he is a knob. So thank you very much. That was sent at 7:30 on Christmas morning. It's absolutely superb work. That is what freeloading scum is all about, really making a good contribution.
I wonder if any of this gets back to Teddy Sheringham. I could see him being like Dick Dastley, just ripping up things in his house and throwing things at the wall. They've done it again, those pesky Tuesday club.
I'm thinking he's probably not that bothered.
Really?
Maybe quite enjoying it.
You say that. Until he but if he was coming towards you with a menacing look on his face.
Yeah. Or trying to get off with my girlfriend,
Yeah. This is the second time, Aki, you've expressed your fear of sharing
them. Well,
finding you and setting about you. I mean, I would suggest that even an athlete, a well-built, finely honed former athlete, it'd be hard pushed to catch you in your van.
I was in your van.
Just get in your van. Just lock yourself in your van. Yeah. Start throwing power tools. Ayman Ahmed, who emails me from time to time, just play the kids, Martinelli, Smith Rowe, Balogun, look great. Why isn't Saliba being given a go? Kolasinac and Mustafi are both out of contract in 6 months. So there's the feeling actually now of some of our dead wood is floating towards a waterfall and they are going to go over it. There's at least three players, Ozil and Kolasinac and Mustafi, who are out the door in the summer. David Luiz, I think, will be out the door in the summer. And it is the feeling, I mean, Arteta must be thinking, oh, please, God, can we get my squad all playing the way I want them to? And maybe he's now realising that it's not about issuing more instructions and doing more planning. It's about somehow getting them motivated to run, just run about. That team yesterday, it was square pegs in square holes. Everyone looked like they were in the right position, their natural position. And it didn't take... It doesn't matter what Chelsea put out then, does it? Because they all go and apply themselves. Give Chelsea something to worry about.
Well, if we can give Chelsea something to worry about, we can certainly give Brighton and West Brom. I mean, we don't have to fear them. But that's if we put a shift in, Dad.
That's it. Now then, do you want to have a quick game and spot the commentary?
Go on then, yeah.
Yes, the reluctance of Keith Taylor, well, who can't remember who we are. Never mind. Never mind anything else.
We even write the names in the bottom left-hand corner.
Thank you.
To remind you.
Now, this is the first one I've got ready for you, and I really hope that you are able to hear this. Okay, are you ready? Here we go.
This game has been going. Sunderland, Arsenal. Talbot. 20 minutes for the deadlock to be broken. It's a good ball, too, for McDermott. Made life difficult for him. Hartford's clearance. Talbot back. Ricks forward. Here's Mead. And Raphael Mead marks his league debut with a goal.
Raphael Mead. I was at that match.
I bet you were. I'm sure I was as well.
And I think he scored down the clock end.
No.
I thought he scored at the clock end.
I'm going to go 1980.
One of us was at the clock end.
Not 1980. No.
I'm going to go 79.
No.
No.
2000.
No, it must.
I'm going to give you 81. A clue, right? Raphael Mead, yes. 81-82 season. Yeah. And that was Raphael Mead wearing the number 9 shirt because Arsenal had sold Frank Stapleton in the summer. To Manchester United, and we were looking for a striker, and that was his debut, and he scored in his debut. Do you remember the opposition?
I'm going to go West Bromwich Albion.
Nope.
Oh. I'm going to go Sunderland.
Nope. Oh. We played them this week.
Manchester City?
Yes, Manchester City, oh, yes. Yeah. So there was a little clue in there, which you probably couldn't hear, because I think it was Ace Hartford playing.
Yes.
But Raphael Mead, who we had quite high hopes for, didn't we? He's not unlike Balogun, actually, in his build and his physique and how he liked to turn and shoot. And he scored a few goals. I remember he scored a couple of goals at White Hart Lane in a 4-2 win where Charlie scored twice. But he was never quite going to be the one, was he, somehow? And then we started signing people. Mm. We signed Woodcock and we signed Mariner. Yeah. I don't know where he went, actually, Raphael Mead. I don't know what became of him.
I know one of the Sunday newspapers where you've got your new striker. It was a big headline saying, you know, because he'd scored on his debut, that was it. We'd found him, you know, which clearly wasn't.
Do you remember for a while we tried Chris White, our lanky centre-half, as a striker? And he played up top for a couple of games and scored a goal. Yes. And we won the game. I think that was Villa. Anyway, I remember him saying, I'm deadly serious about carving out a career for myself as a striker at Arsenal.
Didn't happen.
That didn't work. We had all these people, didn't we? Hankin, Hawley, Lee Chapman for a couple of years.
Oh, Lee Chapman.
Well, yeah, he was a player. Dark days. I felt sorry for him in a way because, you know, he was known for scoring with his head and we didn't put any crosses over to him. You know, and it was ridiculous. I just don't think we played to his strength. And because then he went on to win the league championship with Leeds United.
He did. It was a dire time. It's kind of what brought it to mind, really. The early 80s was a disastrous time for Arsenal. And it culminated ultimately in Terry Neill and Don Howe losing their jobs. And some iffy signings and some false dawns with young players like Raphael Mead. But then a couple of years later, Niall Quinn appeared very lanky and gangly.
You're just a streak of piss, Niall Quinn. And, my brother used to enjoy telling me, yes.
Did he? He scored against Liverpool, if you remember that, and Charlie scored and we beat them. And then another bunch of players started to emerge, and that is what we're hoping now, is a bunch of players coming through at once who are going to be the next generation.
I have, if you're interested, Raphael Meade's senior career in front of me.
Oh, oh yes, please. This is exactly the sort of shit I lack.
Okay.
If you're not interested in Raphael Meade's senior career, listener, you're at the wrong podcast.
So he went abroad after leaving Arsenal in 1985 after 41 appearances and 14 goals. He went to Sporting Lisbon. Played 40 times.
It's a good move.
Good move.
40 times, scored 24 goals in
24 in 40 in 3 years. A lot of injuries.
Yeah. Then he went out on loan to Real Betis.
Oh, wow. Well, it's not bad. Lisbon, Seville.
I know. He got in
bad life. Yeah.
Flipping hell, that's not Sunderland and Newport County, is it?
And then he thought, you know what? This is all a bit too warm and nice here. I'm going to go to
Russia.
No.
Dundee. He went to Dundee. Played 11 games, scored 4 goals. He then went to Luton and played 4 games. That didn't last long. Odense, BK?
Denmark.
Yeah. But he didn't actually play for them, but he went on loan to Ipswich and played 1 game and scored, played 5 games for Plymouth Argyle. Then in 91-92, he went to Brighton and Hove Albion.
Okay. Just rattle through the rest.
Okay, 9. Ernest Borrell, Dover Athletic, back to Brighton and Hove Albion, Southwick, Crawley Town, 55 games and 17 goals, and then ended his career at Sittingbourne.
Bloody hell.
Wow. This is the real definition of a journey.
Was he living in an RV? He must have been travelling around. Was he running a haulage firm between a lot of these clubs? He was a lorry driver, wasn't he? Listen, I can only play for 5 games and then I've got a load of coats in the back there to shift over to France. So
a gun for hire, yeah.
Well, that was Raphael Meade and, with an assist, a headed assist, unusually, by Graham Ricks. In a 1-0 home win over Manchester City in the 81-82 season. So now I'm going to give you another goal. Are you ready for this one? Let me just cue this one up for you. Here we go.
Still in play with Lev and then Baptista. Lev again. Fabregas shoots over the crowd. He elects not to. Lev. Bewildering piece of footwork.
Baptista, right.
There
ain't too many games where he scored.
Baptista, eh?
Right.
Another.
Oh, I'm going to go.
You're going to go Liverpool in
Liverpool in the League Cup.
Liverpool in the FA Cup.
At the Emirates.
At the Emirates.
Was it against Man City?
It was against Man City. Damien again.
Spots
with his grammar school education.
He's just
bringing
just
it got, to just, play. Just got, oh, yes, I spotted a pattern here. So.
He's got better headphones.
It was Man City at the Emirates, a 3-1 win over Man City. Do you want to have a stab at the season, Baptista? The beast, Baptista, wore our number 9 shirt.
2012.
It was 2006-07 season.
Oh, blimey.
Yeah. Yeah, and the clue there, perhaps, you probably couldn't hear, but in the midfield there were 3 wonderful players, Rizitsky, Fabregas, and Kleb, who were passing that around Man City for fun, and that was a comfortable home win against them. And I'll play you one more goal. Oh, hang on a minute, steady. Oh, I nearly dropped it. Okay, here we go.
Ramsey, touch from Alexis Sanchez, Sanogo, Cazorla has steered it in. First goal of the Community Shield. It goes to Arsenal. It goes to Santi Cazorla.
Oh, Community Shield.
I went too long.
That was 2015.
I'm so shit at this. I'm supposed to pause it before it says Community Shield. Such a bellend.
Can you train one of the kids to do this? Start earning your
I need to just forward these to Jay, so clip these bits of commentary, mate, and then he would send them back to me in a nice little easily used
I'm gonna go for
Community Shield by any
It was a Community Shield, yes.
2015.
No.
Oh well, no.
I don't think anyone scored yet in this game, have they?
Not really, no.
No.
Is it the one where Giroud got a... Is he still with us? I'm going to go 2016, is it? No, 17.
Well, we weren't in the Community Shield in 2016, yeah, 18, were we? 18, no.
17. 17.
2014.
2014. Oh.
Santi Cazorla, Yaya Sanogo was involved there.
Yeah.
And Santi Cazorla drilled it in the bottom corner. And we went on and won the Community Shield by 3-0 against...
Manchester City. And I believe Giroud scored a cracker for about 25 yards, is that correct?
Yeah, I think that sounds about...
Don't know who got the second one. But...
About right. Now, we lost this week, as you know, to Man City in the League Cup. I'm going to have a play a little bit of Guess the Lineup with you. This is a game that we went to, Keith, at Wembley Stadium. In 2018, where we played Manchester City in the League Cup final.
Oh.
And it went really well that day. It really,
for a full
it really
10
did.
Minutes.
I just wonder if you can remember the team, if you want to have a stab at the Arsenal team that day.
Chesney in goal?
No.
Who? Not Fab. Would he play Fabianski?
No.
He'd gone by then.
2018.
Oh, of course, it'd be Petr Cech, wouldn't it?
No. Cech was on the bench.
If he was on the bench, who the hell was in goal then?
Oh,
I know we're starting, mate.
Ospina!
Good old Ospina.
David Ospina in the number 13 shirt. Mustafi's right, yes. Any other defenders? We had 3 centre backs.
Right.
Mertesacker was on the bench.
Mertesacker. You know, this drives our listeners mad because they're all calling out the names rapidly.
Yeah, they are. That's why it's really great audio.
Yes. And we're going to get so slagged off on Twitter going now.
People do email me and send me tweets.
No.
What's the matter with you lot?
Oh, no.
All it is, it's just showing how your memory deteriorates when you get in your 60s.
Although,
having said that, Damien's very
cool. I know.
He hasn't come up with a single suggestion of any of the 11.
No, I was letting Keith.
Did you go to that final, D?
The...
League Cup final 2018?
I don't think I did.
Why not?
No excuse for not knowing any of the team.
No. That.
So far, we've got Ospina and Mustafi. There are 9 others.
Koscielny.
Yes.
Okay.
Koscielny.
Off and running. Spotted a red. Spotted a red. He's looking for a colour.
Aaron Ramsey.
Yes, Rambo.
Granit Xhaka.
Who's your favourite one?
Mesut.
Yep.
Yeah. That was
Hector. Hector would have been in there.
Yeah. Have you got it up on the screen now? You have, haven't you?
Of course he has. He's got that phone up. Look at it. Look. He's got all red. Liar. God, I want a polygraph test. Don't bring out a guitar.
Kumbaya, my lord.
You've got 1, 2, 3 to get.
Nacho.
Monorail.
Nacho Monorail, yeah. Actually, still 3 to get. Still 3 to get. 2 of them still at the club.
Aubameyang?
Yep.
Lacazette? No, he wasn't there.
The last 2 are English.
Ramsey?
No, he's Welsh. We've already had him.
Sorry,
Wales.
Well, that's a disaster.
Callum Chambers and Jack Wilshere.
No.
Yeah. Jack Wilshere started that final, got booked.
Was Jack still with us then?
Oh,
yeah, and coming off the bench were Do you want to have a guess that came off the bench, or do you just want me to tell you?
Tell us, please. Put us out of our misery.
Well, I wonder what the listeners think.
I can think what the listeners think. Yeah, I can't just say it. That's all.
Couple of attacking players, obviously.
Danny Welbeck,
oh, yes. Yeah. And Iwobi came off the bench. And Kolasinac also came off the bench. Unused substitutes were the previously mentioned Cech and Mertesacker, Elneny and Ainsley Maitland-Niles.
I'll be pleased to see the back of Kolasinac. Not for him personally, just his passing or lack thereof.
I've never seen a player who gets into so many dangerous positions close to the byline as an overlapping fullback and cannot find an Arsenal player in the box. But I mean, he just fires it at the first man. I mean, he can never do what Kieran Tierney did yesterday, which is, I can't see anyone to cross it to. I'll cut inside and get into the box and maybe I'll win a pen or cause some chaos.
Yeah.
It's such a frustrating player, Kolasinac.
Yeah. I know.
So much power, hard running when he flies down there. We thought, we really thought we found one here. And no end product. Bizarre.
I loved Kieran Tierney's quote afterwards. Saying, well, it's a start, isn't it?
Well,
do the accent.
He's being realistic. But I tell you what, on the watching match of the day, they do the lineup, and you can see in some of those Smith Rowe, that I thought there was a bit of determination in their look, their face, and which was good to see. And this is why I think we should be proud of our youngsters. I think they'll pull us through these troubled times. I think as long as Arteta doesn't do Tinker Man, as long as he don't fuck about with it.
Yeah, I think
Keith swore.
Keith
said the F word. I don't want to be a grass, but
you will
swear.
Be.
Now, should Arteta, on the back of yesterday's result, be given the freedom of the Borough of Islington?
Steady on, no.
Yeah, are we doing a DVD of this performance?
I think the DVD's out. There's an open top bus parade. You know,
good,
it's all there.
Good.
Little hello. I'd like to say hello to Mark Quigley, who's emailed us with a song. Open the door, get on the floor. Everybody walk the gunner saw. It's not very good, Mark, but
I quite like it.
Boom, chakalaka, saka, boom, boom. It's all that. It's that old, famous old pop song from years ago. But the reason that I'm saying hello to Mark is because he's writing from an oil rig beyond the Shetland Islands.
Wow.
And his wife, Morven, is an Arsenal fan. He is a Celtic fan. But it's a real podcast show. Very entertaining, lads, with Alan being the least funny.
It was going so well, wasn't it?
Oh. It was. Never email again.
Don't upset an oil rigger, though.
I've never liked people on oil riggers.
I found the picture of Keith with Gunnosaurus, so I think that's a good excuse to be able to put that up on the internet.
Thank you.
So,
all right, you can do that.
Someone said they've sent me a picture which I couldn't actually open, but saying that he'd met Keith and Tayo outside the Duchess of Kent pub, which is a pub we very rarely frequent, but a very nice pub. It is on Liverpool Road. Asked for a photo. Keith was very obliging, of course. Always very obliging there with the fans. And Tayo, he said, was almost moody. And I thought, almost... Almost moody. You've caught him on a good day there.
Tayo Papula.
Almost McCall. Jesus.
Must be another one.
That really tickled me, Pink.
Oh, I'd love to meet Almost Moody.
Almost Moody Tayo Papula. So, gents, now, Tuesday, this podcast actually will probably be up on Tuesday. So, I should say tonight we play Brighton and Hove Albion away.
Just up the road.
Mm. Are we going to... Oh, yes, of course. You're down
It's
there.
Weird, isn't
you're,
it?
You're
to
quite
think...
near to the Amex down there. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I can see the Emirates from my bedroom window, although most of the year I can't because the trees have got leaves on. But yesterday, I mean, all the lights were on. Emirates Stadium was on all around the outside. You could see, obviously, the floodlights, and it just looked like match day.
Yeah.
And it's really... That would have been great, wouldn't it? Boxing Day, 5:30 in the pub by 7:30. 3-1 win. loads of pints of Guinness, possibly even a visit, a late night visit to a snooker hall. But there we are. Yeah. As it is, we just had to enjoy it from home, as we hopefully will win at Brighton.
Yes.
All right, gents. See you next week.
Thank you. Bye.